Hi there, listeners. Welcome to episode 103, part B of Never on the Back Foot podcast. This is me, Neha Shetty, and I'm so glad to have you all listening in. This episode is taking Gujarat Titans as a case study and assessing their run this IPL 2022 from a sports psychology perspective. On the podcast today, we have Sahin Gupta, a sports and performance psychologist and founder of Discovery Sport and Performance Labs. He specializes in resilience research and applied practice in elite sports. His aim is to help teams and individual athletes develop their own potential and optimize resilience so as to target long-term success. He has served in various leadership positions and is the youngest accredited practitioner of Lumina Spark. Additionally, he has served on assignments with the Scotland national cricket team for the ICC World Cup and has worked with various Premier League clubs in the UK and Team Great Britain Tennis, to name a few. Do check out Discovery Sports Lab on Instagram and their website for some amazing stuff that the team is doing. We've previously had Sir on episode 25 in a two-part series analyzing the psychology of cricket in what was a very well-received episode. Without further ado, let's get started with assessing Gujarat Titans' scintillating campaign. Everybody loves a fairy tale. The world of sports is littered with stories of human triumph, defying the odds and producing spectacles worth remembering for decades and generations to come. Gujarat Titans produced a fairy tale of their own in this IPL, where at times it was a throwback to what Rajasthan Royals pulled off 14 years back. Yet there was a difference. Yes, Gujarat Titans were unfancied, but they had proven performers. Although the stars weren't at their brightest when the team was being assembled, but once the red carpet was laid, theirs was the brightest galaxy that outshined everyone else's. And they were dominant while doing that. They crossed every hurdle with ease, and one could be forgiven for assuming they were seasoned campaigners rather than some novice. So let's get started and analyze exactly what happened. Hello, sir. Welcome back to the podcast. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm great, Neha. Thank you for asking.
Yes, sir. So this episode was basically conceptualized, you know, to have a sports psychology perspective to assess Gujarat Titans' run. So on that note, how would you rate Gujarat Titans' run this season?
Oh, absolutely fabulous. I mean, the stats, the points table speaks for itself. And to be fair, I was looking forward to the team itself performing after the auction. And I'm really, really happy the way they have been so consistent throughout and well-deserved, very, very well-deserved.
Absolutely, sir. And if you also had to reflect on the high points and the low points, which I think is less in Gujarat Titans' case, what would that be?
Well, I think that's what really speaks to the quality of the team, that statement. Low points are not that many. I was really struggling to find any low points. Whatever little blips that they had, it was learning points, if anything. Because for a team who's just been formed, because it's not just the players who are working together for the first time, you know, it's the whole structure of the team, beginning from players, coaching staff, support staff, your organizational level, because it's a complex tournament, it's a complex scheme, and everything that they've failed at, which is not that many, they use as a learning process. They had a clear plan from beginning, and I think that they've been consistently super, super high. So I really couldn't find any major low points, if that were the case.
Right, so, and even when you look at Hardik Pandya, right, now his self-belief and confidence definitely rubbed off onto his teammates. You could see it throughout the tournament, and this did culminate in a title-winning season for them. So how would you rate Hardik Pandya's captaincy and the impact it had on the players?
I think it was really solid captaincy throughout, and I think one of the key things with shown through was the simplicity in it. He did not try to make things too complicated. He did not try to, do something which was too experimental. Like if you, for example, look at his new ball strategy, it was pretty simple. Give Mohammad Shami the ball and let him do his work. As simple as that. And he did his work.
whenever you needed run rates to go down or put pressure on the batsman, bring in Rashid Khan, you know, go for it. And bring in the left arm spinner when the right arms are there. And simple, it's traditional captaincy. And it really shows about how well he knew his team. For some teams, you need to be innovative. You need to use your resources in a more creative manner. But he didn't. And he didn't do it. And it really paid off for him. And as for confidence and self-belief, he's really come through the ranks. And we know his journey throughout. I've always said Hardik Pandya can walk into any team if he's fit to bat and bowl. He's that good of a quality all-rounder. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's done. He's focused on the basics brilliantly. He's not to mention he's coming back from an injury and as well. Yeah, even during the tournament, he had that little bit of a back issue. So he stopped bowling for a little bit, adapted, adjusted, and then back in again. And I think that characterizes the Gujarat Titans season. Adjust, adapt, and return back again.
Absolutely, sir. And even if you have a look at Gujarat Titans' entire season, there were instances, you know, when they won the toss, they decided to bat first. And, you know, despite chasing being the norm for most of the teams. Now, how would you rate, you know, this strategy and, you know, look at the decision-making aspect as a unit? And where do you think, you know, this whole self-confidence and belief was stemming for the team?
I think it starts with clear plans, you know, and that clear planning starts all the way from the beginning and decision-making as a unit, a full player and staff unit. They knew their team very well. They knew the limitations of their team very well, and they adapted to it. Like, it's one of the oldest things, right? If you bat first, you have less of a pressure, especially because most of the matches were contained within three venues and two venues for most of the teams. So they went out there, they put up a total on the board, and then they trusted their bowlers and their fielding to take care of it. And even when they had to actually chase in, I remember the semi-final, well, not the semi-final, the first playoff in Gardens, they had to chase, and they had to chase quite a competitive total. And they kept things simple. They did exactly what was done. And I have to look at the team composition a little bit as well. I mean, if you look at their team, they're not the deepest batsman batting unit in there, is it?
Yeah.
They knew that getting totals on the board, better option. And then you can defend the total better with Rashid Khan, who I don't think went over 20 even in one of the matches.
Hmm.
And Mohammad Shami, you have Ferguson, you have the full bowling attack coming in. And that's where they really put together. And I also think we should not discount the coaching staff's input. I mean, Gary Kirsten and Ashish Nehra put a very clear and a very simple, as Ashish Nehra style is, into the whole team. And I think that...
Yes, sir.
...went on with it.
Yes, sir, absolutely. Their influence did rub off really well in the team, and we will get to it a little later on. But even if you look at Gujarat Titans, right, they probably had the best bowling team the death overs with just 29 wickets, an economy of 9.6 in that phase of play. And they're probably the only side that conceded less than 10 per over in that 17 to 20 overs period. So, you know, what do you think, if you critically look at this and if you had to assess what really worked well for them in this bowling department, how would you look at it?
Their bowling was actually very, very simple if you look at it. And the brilliant part of it was commitment to that simplicity. And I think that was partly influenced by Ashish Nehra's coaching and also Gary Kirsten's experience of Indian wickets and Indian bowling and conditions. So if you look at it, most of their dead bowling was Rashid Khan, start with Rashid Khan's, his last third over, fourth over, about in the 17th, wrap that up. And the last three, last four, length ball. And hard length ball to hit, sometimes back of length, sometimes variation, sometimes just putting it as fast as you can and trying to cram the batsman for space. It's simple. It's classic bowling strategy, if you want to call it that. But the way everyone blended into that, that's where their team really shone through. So if you look at cricket as a game, you can't really let the batsman off the hook, because at the level of the IPL, an inch either way, you know, too full, too short, too left, too right into the line, it goes, it gets punished. And that's the level they're playing at. But the commitment to it, if you look at Lockie Ferguson, Mohammad Shami, the commitment they had to that length and the skill of execution to that length and the simplicity with it, it was flawless. You just, Rashid Khan would soak up the runs, get some wickets, the other bowlers would play their part and then pile up the pressure and suffocate the opponents out. But the way the team did it together, not to mention when Hardik bowled, he did it fantastically as well. 130s, early 140s, line and length was absolutely superb, and it's difficult to bat. It really is difficult to bat when that's that consistent.
Yes, sir. Fair enough. And even on paper, right, when you look at the Gujarat Titans, they probably didn't have, like, you know, the strongest or like the best batting order. There was a lot of criticism regarding their auction. But at the same time, there were some people who, you know, kind of liked their auction strategy and everything. But even then, if you just have a look at the planning process, you know, that went behind assembling that team, because they were literally doing it from scratch, how would you, rate it?
Well, that's what links us into how to build teams. IPL is one tournament where you, especially during these major auctions, where it's a reset, right? So everyone starts with almost the same area. And you have to pick the pieces that you want and do what you value. And that's why you can see the few successful teams who have suddenly come up and won. If you look at KKR, when Gautam Gambhir was captain, and they went on to be really competitive and really win in the early 2012-13, that type of a season. I think they made four finals, 1-2 or something like that, consistently in the semis, because they built their team with a certain philosophy and a certain idea. To be fair, the team made sense. I mean, if you look at very successful teams, you need players in their prime and experienced players and players who are just about to come into their prime, right? Mm-hmm. If you look at the batting order, Ridhiman Sahab, Matthew Wade, you have two international standard wicketkeepers, even though they're not an AB de Villiers, so they're not an MS Dhoni, or they're not an Ishan Kishan. They're not a big name, but they're consistent. They're really consistent. If you look at Ridhiman Sahab, has a nearly 15-year career in international cricket. He hasn't played as much, sure, but that's because of other reasons. But you get the point. Then Shubman Gill, classy young player, solid. And then if you look at the rest of the batting order again, Pandya, Hardik is absolutely at his peak now. Rahul Tewatia has a very clear role, which is come in and go from ball one. And then there's David Miller. And David Miller is an interesting case because, you know, he's not had the most easiest of IPL seasons in the past couple of years. But David Miller has been excellent internationally in ODIs and T20s. So why is that? Well, Miller likes to settle in, you know, as a player, Miller likes to settle in and then sort of push on from there. And when he does push on, he is fantastic at pushing on. So it's about the team fitting these players into the roles that you need to fit them in. So Ridhiman Saha did not really bat opening in that free for all, hit everything that you can for Sunrisers when he played for them, did it? But then that was where he could do the best for the team. And that's where they really maximize the potential from each player. And that just comes down into team building. And that's been some exceptional team building leading on from there.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And on the same line of thought, probably another pattern that was observed was how in every game, we could see how the team collectively played as a unit. Now, you always had someone or the other contributing for the win. And it wasn't they were, you know, over-dependent on certain set of players. So when you see it from a sports psych perspective, how cohesive and efficient is that for a team?
It is massive. I think they had four batsmen, or was it three batsmen scoring? It was definitely Shubman Gill, David Miller and Hardik Pandya scoring over 400 each. And then Ridhiman Sahab was close to, 200, something along there. And that is incredible. That is nearly 1,000 runs from, more than 1,000 runs from batsmen consistently throughout. And if you look at the way their batsmen went about, you know, posting those scores, which they did a lot, no batsman left the team a lot to do. If you look at the score sheets, rarely would you see like, you know, ducks or a couple of balls and they're out, or like 5-6 balls and they're out. The batsmen stayed to contribute to their team. So if you look at a batting unit, there's two major philosophies of team building and approaches and role clarity, as we call it. One is you have a couple of star batsmen and everyone else plays a supporting role. or you have batsmen each contributing to, let's say, like a one pizza slice, and then eventually you have a nice little pizza for the bowlers to defend against. And the second approach is what they took. You had each player with a very clear role. So if you look at Ridhwan Saha, his role, accelerate immediately in the power play, get as much as you can. Whereas Shubman Gill's role was not that. Put back guy to go. And then Hardik Pandya played very differently this season. He did not play like the Hardik Pandya in Mumbai Indians. He was measured. His strike rate typically was below 100, settling in and then going long with the innings. So that when, if and when David Miller had to come in, if and when Devatia had to come in, they had a set batsman and they could really get into it as well. And a person or a couple of people too much to do, you know, they did it together. And it seems simple, it really does, but executing it in that level of elite sport is extremely difficult. And we saw that with, let's say, Mumbai Indians, who looked on paper fantastic. But at times, some players left the team and left their teammates with too much to do, which is difficult because in the IPL and the standards over the years, it is harder and harder to do that, to dig yourself out rather than start from a good base.
Yes, sir, that is a good analysis. And even when we look at this one player who has really, you know, stepped up his game and played well, it has to be David Miller. Now, the South African was probably one of the biggest positives of the season, and he delivered consistently in these high-pressure situations. He did not allow the pressure to, you know, creep up to him. And he really, I think, relieved a lot of pressure from the skipper's hands, especially in like the mid-lowers of the game. Now, how refreshing was it to see Miller, you know, get back to his own, finding his right franchise? And, you know, do you see him in the future also playing well for Gujarat?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you have to understand David Miller is what, I think 32, maybe 33.
Yeah.
And he's been around for quite a long time. He has not only had high levels of experience in the IPL, I think he was started with Rajasthan, then Punjab was his longest stint. He's played for Durham in England. And, you know, he's been around for a while. He hasn't really, it's not a new addition to the team, and his ability to strike the ball, once he sees the ball, is well known. I mean, he's got nearly 4,000 runs in ODI cricket. He's played T20 internationals. I think he even has a century in T20 internationals. So he knows how to bat, clearly. Mm. But David Miller has a style of how to get along and, you know, batting into there. And once he settles down into it, it's a dangerous position. And his experience has really come through because David Miller is pretty good against spin. He's pretty good against pace. And he can adapt to the situations very well, courtesy of all that international experience. So when you put him in those situations, especially I remember the against Rajasthan Royals in Eden Gardens, that was a tricky situation. And he was going run a ball nice and easy. No need to accelerate till he did. And when he did, he knew when to do it, he knew how to do it, and 28 or something of 20, and then he went after McCoy initially, and then after Prasad Krishna, that 2 fours and 1 6 finished it over. The self in those positions has to be a credit to the larger team itself, because David Miller's batted 3 in the IPL, 4 in the IPL, 6 in the IPL now.
Yeah.
But now he's really batting in 5 with a very clear plan and a role which suits him. And I think that's where that player to role fit and the coach player link is also really important. Gary Kirsten's obviously spent a lot of time with David Miller. Both of them are South Africans. And he understands how to get the best out of players. And David Miller's found himself in a very Yuvraj Singh type position, quite a similar role that Yuvraj Singh played in the 2011 World Cup. Left-hander who can really strike a ball, but also who has the skill to stay there, rotate, strike, you know, settle down. Obviously, it's a different format, but similar in that sense.
Right, so well put. And talking about, you know, overseas players really playing well, Rashid Khan. Now, he was again another major positive for Gujarat Titans, and he was amongst the wickets. But if you had to look at how well he's gelled into this team environment and, you know, just made the most of the pressure situations being economical at the same time, what are your thoughts on Rashid Khan?
You know, Rashid Khan has been consistently taking over 15, 18, 20 wickets every season he's played, but his economy rate is just sensational. I mean, oh my God, going at that rate. I remember Butler couldn't pick him. Butler just could not pick him. And Josh Butler has scored. He's taken every bowler out, literally. And to do that consistently across the matches is beyond brilliant. I mean, even if he takes a few wickets, two wickets, and then he keeps the run rate down to that level, he's brought in, he's invaluable to any team. And not to mention that a couple of cameos that he plays with the bat as well. He's quite handy with the bat. Sunrisers didn't really give him that much of a chance because he used to bat quite low. He used to come in eight nearly. But Rashid Khan can actually connect the ball quite well. And again, I think it's about strategically using it. And Hardik Pandya has used Rashid Khan very, very well. He's used all his experience because Rashid Khan is the ultimate T20 leg spin bowler. He's bowled most of the leagues around the world, bowled against most of the batsmen. And he loves the Indian conditions. The subcontinent conditions, the spin flight in the both the pitches that he played on in the group stages as well. And he was just, he did his job to perfection. That's all I can say. And you just need a spinner who can do that. To be economical and take wickets is unbelievably good. And it's invaluable.
Yes, sir, absolutely. He is an asset to any team he plays for. And hopefully he will, you know, still be in the larger scheme of things for Gujarat as well. But when you talk about Rahul Tewatia, now he has played in so many games. And in some of the games, he, you know, particularly played well, made the most of the pressure situations and, you know, just got the team across the line. So from a sports psych perspective, you know, he's a domestic player. So how does he, you know, cope with the pressure and thoughts on him, the player?
I mean, Rahul Tewatia, again, has been around for a while. He plays first class consistently for Haryana. And although he is a player, he has a very clear idea of what his strengths are. I think that's when you look at the psychological makeup and the awareness that players have, he has a very good idea of his game. He knows what he's capable of, what he's not capable of, what he's really good at, and he does that. He is one of the players, you can drop him with three balls to go and he will have absolutely no problem in making as many as he can from those three balls. And that's literally the position, ironically, Rajasthan Royals really discovered his specialization in. And that's the position Gujarat Titans have really, really very clear job. He doesn't really think about averages. He doesn't, that's not his job in that team. His job is to go out there and give that last, you know, flurry of however many you can get us, that's bonus runs for the team. Because those 10 extra runs in the, let's say, 18th, 19th over is almost as important as a wicket if you are setting a target. Because if you're, the difference is between 140 and 155, that is sensational because it gives your bowlers just that little bit extra to defend and actually attack those opening batsmen in the power play with second innings. And that's what they've done so well. Because they've just been consistent. His fielding has been consistent and he's got a job description, shall we say. And he does that perfectly. Nothing more, nothing less.
Yes, sir. And even according to you, how well, you know, have the domestic players been used by Gujarat Titans? And how do you think, you know, they gelled into the team environment as well?
Well, that's what I think Ashish Nehra has a way of doing it as well. They are two people who really know the Indian sporting setup, particularly the idea of where people are good at, where people are not good at. And Ashish Nehra has really mentored everyone as well. So when they've gone through that full process, now you can see that it makes sense that people are really performing to the standard that they are. So Shubman Gill's a fantastic player, but he was given a role that he suited to him and he was really good at it. And then if you look at Hardik Pandya's leadership style, consistent, very narrow way of doing it as well. They are two people who really know the Indian sporting setup, particularly the idea of where people are good at, where people are not good at. And Ashish Nehra has really mentored everyone as well. So when they've gone through that full process, now you can see that it makes sense that people are really performing to the standard that they are. So Shubman Gill's a fantastic player, but he was given a role that he suited to him and he was really good at it. And then if you look at Hardik Pandya's leadership style, consistent, very, very people friendly, understanding where the players are. And that's been consistently shown across through the media talk. The Australians went even into the process of the put in Lockie Ferguson in there and how they've used them. Brilliant. Pradeep Sangwan also, when he played, I think he played one or two matches when Hardik couldn't bowl. All of them, they had a very clear idea of how to use them, but also about how to build that team together. And I think it is a credit to the players as well that the Gujarat Titans have had one of the most consistent first 11s. They were the one of the teams who did not really chop and change a lot of them. And that's because the players did not, they need to be changed because they did their job and they just consistently did it. And I guess that is massive because it is so underrated.
Exactly, sir. And, you know, through the episode too, you've spoken highly about Ashish Nehra and Gary Kirsten, and they've been the best in the business for a long time now. And Gary Kirsten has, you know, guided the team so well, even the Indian cricket team in the past. But if you had to evaluate, you know, their coaching style and the impact that they've had in the team, besides that, you know, even the coaching philosophy, how would you look at it?
Oh, massive. I mean, when we think about the impact coaches have, people don't really understand it. So, a team plays a certain way because at the international level, at their coaching is not really about, you know, fixing someone's action or, you know, asking that technical change. Those are minor things. And sometimes when you're on international tours, you do that. But it is about the long-term planning over a season of how a group of individuals are going to play. That is where the coaching philosophy really comes into play. How are we going to play in terms of technique? How are we going to execute strategy? What types of strategy will we have? How our team will approach things and how they will get through with it. And I think simplicity defines simplicity in terms of keeping things simple, but really, really committing to executing that just defines the way Gujarat Titans have approached the game. And there's this picture, there's this image I have in mind from when I was watching one of the matches, and they were doing something strategy-related change was happening, because I could tell in that sense. And Ashish Nehra had a piece of paper with him, and he was explaining something from that piece of paper to Gary Kirsten. And yeah. I think that sums it up. That literally just the paper in a tournament where you see four laptops to a table, he's just gone with the tape paper and he just simply told what needs to be done and have a discussion and go through with that. And most of their batting, most of their bowling, all of their approach has been that. very rarely did you see batsmen becoming extremely unorthodox without or trying to force the issue. They did the things consistently. I think they took one of the highest singles counts in the process as well. They gave it a very, very clear direction. They took care of their players, senior and junior, and they blended it together. And that is incredible. And also, he and Gary Gersonet together really mentored all of the players into the roles that are expected of them. So how can they help as coaching staff to allow the players to express themselves freely and to the best of their ability and create that environment, which really helps out with it? And we see that it's kind of worked, hasn't it?
Yes, sir. It has. And, you know, the last question before we wrap up this episode, are there any areas that you think Gujarat Titans can specifically work on? Now, this can be takeaways or learnings from this season that they can, you know, carry on for the next season. Just keep the momentum going, basically. And anything they can do in the lead up to that mini auction or during the mini auction before IPL 2023.
Well, not to be a pragmatist, but some of the players will not retain their form next year. And that happens, right? I mean, you can't expect everyone. And that was an accident, but a beautiful accident where everyone finding form, as in doing what needs to be done, how it needs to be done, to the way the team needs it to be done. And it might not be the case next season. So one of the things Gujarat Titans got slightly lucky with was whatever role they decided their team would have to do, as you mentioned, someone or the other showed up. What if that not happens? Then maybe have a few more options. But also continue developing the team that they really have. So, for example, if you look at Sai Kishore, he's had an absolutely exceptional season coming in as a youngster. You've seen Rahul Tewatia. You've got other people like Darshan Nalkande. Then you also have Yastayal. All these individuals need to be a bit more nurtured, need to be developed a bit more so that when they are called upon, they can do it. And now I think it's about a bit more of the squad building as well, because they've got a really good core team. How can they build a bit of depth in their squad, develop players and that part of it as well?
Yes, so absolutely. Gujarat will be looking at that after this dream season. And do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up the episode, sir?
No, I think it's a testament to the hard work of a lot of people, not just the people we may see or the players that we may see on the pitch. I think it was their place to adapt to situations, to pressure, or because pressure sort of came with them as they went along and they started performing well. No one really expected anything from them initially because it's a new team. Why would they? And the way they've dealt with it, the way everyone's come together, I think that's a great lesson. And if you look at the most successful teams in the IPL, be it Mumbai Indians, Chennai Super Kings, or KKR, the title-winning squads have always had those fundamental characteristics. And to get it done in the first season, the first time of trying, that really is something special.
Yes, sir, absolutely. And with this, we come to an end of this episode that, you know, just took a walk down memory lane of how, you know, well Gujarat Titans did in their season. It's just 1 week, but it still feels surreal that, you know, the team did manage to win. And I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you for joining me on the podcast and for leaving us, you know, all with those fantastic insights. Looking at anything from a sports psych perspective is a bonus. And thank you so much, sir, for doing this. And here's hoping we can have you back on the podcast in the future again. And that's all from my side. So
absolutely.
Thank you.
It was an absolute pleasure. And like Gujarat Titans, let's realize that consistency is key and keep achieving to our goals. Absolutely, Neha. You're doing fantastic and great to be back once again.
Thank you so much, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to thank you all for ardently supporting my blog and this podcast. We're growing each episode strength to strength. It really gives me the strength and zeal to keep working and delivering quality content to you all. A heartfelt thank you. Do check out @NeverInTheBackFoot on Instagram and @NeverInTheBackOne on Twitter for the latest facts, trivia, quizzes, terminology, and a lot more. The podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, Overcast, and a lot of other platforms. So please do spread the word. Also, feel free to share your thoughts and suggestions for the already published episodes and recommendations for future topics. Do share this episode widely, and your support is really appreciated. See you next time, listeners. Cheers, stay safe, and take care. Bye for now.